I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon.
U.S. President Donald Trump faces one of his greatest tests of his presidency now that Iran has launched two ballistic missile attacks at two Iraqi bases housing U.S. troops. It's Thursday, January 9, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Also ahead, Australia braces for a long, hot season. Syrians face yet another humanitarian crisis. And technology you can wear while it keeps you healthy. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Iran followed through with its promise to retaliate following the killing of its top military commander, Qasem Soleimani, firing more than two dozen ballistic missiles at Iraqi air bases housing U.S. troops. VOA's Richard Green has this update on the latest developments between Tehran and Washington.
The missiles lit up the night skies over the Al-Asad base, located about 60 kilometers west of Baghdad, as well as one in Erbil, part of Iraq's semi-autonomous Kurdish region. The attacks were carried out hours after the burial of Qasem Soleimani, the commander of Iran's elite Quds force, who was killed in a U.S. drone strike on Baghdad's airport on Friday. But there was no immediate word of any casualties in the aftermath of the attacks on the Iraqi bases. Javad Zarif, Iran's foreign minister, tweeted that the attack on the two Iraqi bases were, quote, proportionate measures in self-defense, and insisted that Tehran does not, quote, seek escalation or war, but will defend ourselves against any aggression. U.S. President Donald Trump tweeted hours later that an assessment of casualties and damage was taking place, but added the phrase, so far, so good. Richard Green, VOA News, Washington.
Thursday morning, Washington time, U.S. President Donald Trump spoke about the missile attack and the killing of Soleimani. President Trump said that Iran appears to be standing down, adding that no American or Iraqi lives were lost in the overnight attack.
Good morning. I'm pleased to inform you the American people should be extremely grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime. We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe, and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases.
The president also signaled that the U.S. would not take military action in response to the attacks, but instead would impose additional harsh economic sanctions against Iran to further damage its economy. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. The Cambodian government will have to enact substantial political reforms if it wants to retain a preferential trade agreement with the European Union. Pakistan and China have launched a major joint naval drill in the Arabian Sea to deepen their security cooperation. The Philippine government has ordered the mandatory evacuation of Philippine workers from Iraq and Iran, and is sending a Coast Guard vessel to ferry its citizens to safety. And lawmakers in Pakistan's lower house voted to support extending the tenure of the country's army chief by another 3 years. We can watch more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter and our website, voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. Well, the news out of Iran keeps getting worse. Authorities there have started investigating why a Ukrainian passenger jet crashed just minutes after takeoff from Tehran's airport early Wednesday, killing all on board. Iranian state television reported that both the black box voice and data recorder from the Boeing 737 aircraft have been recovered from the crash site on farmlands on the outskirts of the Iranian capital.
A Ukrainian Boeing 737 crashed after takeoff in Iran Wednesday, carrying 176 people. All aboard were killed, according to Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky. Grim footage from Iranian TV showed debris, smoking metal scrap, and rescue workers with face masks retrieving bodies. Officials and Iranian state TV say the plane had technical problems soon after leaving Tehran's Imam Khomeini Airport. The plane crashed near the airport and burst into flames. The flight tracking service Flight Radar 24 showed the plane was flight PS752 bound for Ukraine's capital, Kiev. Iranian state media, quoting a local aviation official, said the pilot did not declare an emergency. Iranian rescue workers have reported they've now found one of the two black boxes of the crashed airliner. The airline said it's doing everything possible to find out more details about the cause of the crash. The site says the plane was 3 years old and was a 737 NG jet. Wednesday's crash could pile into Boeing's safety crisis. It's been grappling with two deadly crashes involving another jet, the 737 MAX. Boeing grounded its 737 MAX fleet worldwide last March. The crash also happened within hours of missile strikes launched from Iran at US-led forces in Iraq. However, the airliner's crash is apparently unrelated to the attack.
Meanwhile, next door in Syria, the United Nations says conditions are deteriorating at an alarming rate for millions of civilians trapped in that nation's embattled northwest province of Idlib. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Turkey and other countries have closed their borders with Syria, making it virtually impossible for some 3 million civilians in Idlib to escape the violence. Over the past 8 months, the United Nations says more than 700,000 people have been forced to flee their homes. It says 300,000 of them have become displaced since mid-December. That is when Syrian forces and their Russian allies mounted a fierce onslaught to retake Idlib, the last territory still under rebel control. Spokesman for the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, Jens Laerke, says at least 1,300 civilians were killed by airstrikes and shelling between May and August. He says the death toll has certainly risen as airstrikes and shelling are now taking place in many towns and villages on a near daily basis.
Every day we receive disturbing reports of families caught up in the violence, seeking refuge and access to essential services in overcrowded camps and urban areas. Many are now sheltering in schools, mosques and other public buildings. Across Idlib, we get reports of critical shortages of food, shelter, health and winterization assistance, as well as other basic services required for their survival.
Laerke says cross-border humanitarian operations mandated by the UN Security Council have kept millions of people across Syria alive since 2014. But he notes the resolution remains in force only until January 10th. He tells VOA keeping aid flowing into Syria across borders is critically important. He says food, water, medicine, and other essential relief is crucial in keeping down the death toll.
Of course, we cannot prevent shelling and fighting. We can call for that to stop. What we can do is that we can provide aid so that people survive where they are in this, during this very harsh winter. And that is what we are doing. As I mentioned, 2.7 million really rely on our assistance for their survival, and we need to see that continue.
The UN continues to call on the warring parties to take all necessary measures to ensure that civilians are protected. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has reiterated his call for an immediate end to the hostilities that have been going on for nearly 9 years. The UN chief says the only way to achieve a credible, lasting peace is through a political process. Despite his heartfelt appeal, it appears for now the warring parties are not listening. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Happening now in Asia, analysts say that Pyongyang is unlikely to respond positively to a call by South Korean President Moon Jae-in for reviving inter-Korean projects. In his New Year's address delivered Tuesday, President Moon urged his government to invite Kim Jong-un to South Korea. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. And we're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. The Iranian bombing isn't just affecting the Middle East region. It's already having an effect in the U.S. race for president. Democratic presidential contender Joe Biden described President Trump as dangerously incompetent for the targeted killing of Iranian military commander Qasem Soleimani. Biden and his Democratic rivals have been heavily critical of the president's decision and have warned about the consequences. We have more now from VOA senior national correspondent Jim Malone.
Speaking in New York, Joe Biden lashed out at the president with a lengthy critique about the consequences of the attack that killed Qasem Soleimani.
President Trump has no strategy here, it seems to me. He has no end game. And here's the hardest truth of all. His constant mistakes and poor decision-making have left us, the United States, with a severely limited slate of options for how to move forward.
Biden contrasted Trump's approach in Iran with the more diplomatic approach carried out by the Obama administration. And Biden also urged the president to seek congressional authority on the use of military force.
You're required to work with Congress, Mr. President. You're required to abide by the War Powers Resolution, Mr. President. And you cannot pursue war with Iran without consent and authority from Congress.
Biden's rivals for the Democratic presidential nomination have also been quick to criticize Trump, including Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
The role of the United States, difficult though it may be, must be to work with the international community to end conflicts, to end the threat of war, not to promote war, as President Trump is doing.
Senator Amy Klobuchar, another contender, also expressed concern.
And I am very concerned that this president used disproportionate force and made a decision that is going to trigger an escalation of the conflict.
Democratic candidate and former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg addressed the attack during a town hall in Iowa.
Being in a leadership role around the world doesn't mean throwing military force at every problem out there. It means using every tool in the toolkit, diplomatic, economic, social, informational, and when absolutely necessary, military, to try to make sure that our interests are protected and that values we share with the entire human race are upheld and promoted around the world.
At the White House Tuesday, President Trump again defended his decision on Soleimani.
He's been called a monster, and he was a monster. And he's no longer a monster. He's dead. And that's a good thing for a lot of countries.
The focus on Iran comes as the Democratic primary campaign heats up just weeks before the first votes are cast in the Iowa presidential caucuses on February 3rd. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
And you're listening to VOA Asia. VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa News. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This news alert from VOA Asia, the World Meteorological Organization is warning Australians to brace for a protracted period of catastrophic bushfires, blaming climate change for record-breaking heat waves and persistent drought. At least 500 million animals are thought to have perished in the blazes. This is VOA Asia. And VOA Asia continues. For decades, U.S. universities have attracted large numbers of foreign students who add brain power to American classrooms while adding billions to the U.S. economy. But international students seem less enthusiastic about the United States of late. VOA's Kathleen Struck and Bronwyn Benito take a look at the factors prompting a growing number of foreign students to look elsewhere.
Srushti Sinha knows exactly why she chose to come to college in the U.S.
The freedom that you get here in terms of choosing what you want to study, and also the opportunities that studying here gives you. We have prime ministers and presidents come and speak at Columbia during the World Leaders Forum. You get to attend talks with Nobel laureates.
But that's not the only draw for prospective international students.
U.S. course offer a more vibrant discussion. There is more peer-to-peer discussion going on in the class, whereas in the UK it's more lecturing all the time.
More than 1 million international university students study in the United States today. But is enthusiasm for an American education waning?
We've seen in the last 2 years shifts in where students want to go.
Some foreign students balk at the price of a U.S. college or university, which averages between $25,000 a year at state schools and as much as $70,000 a year at private universities. And cost isn't the only hurdle. Obtaining a U.S. student visa can also be a challenge.
I met a lot of parents who wanted to send their kids earlier, but were like, oh, no, you know, with the visa situation, you know, the climate against immigrants and whatnot, we are unsure. And that was a huge factor in them deciding against it.
I think the number one struggle with this visa situation is not having stability, security.
I think it's the uncertainty that really affects how a lot of students view America as an education destination now.
That uncertainty is heightened by America's often harsh political debate over immigration, as well as U.S. policies targeting travelers from certain countries.
The appearance of being unwelcome, the strong anti-immigrant rhetoric that unfortunately is dominating our political environment, those sorts of sentiments can be misread internationally as negative feelings towards international students and scholars.
Meanwhile, violence in the U.S., including mass shootings at American schools and crimes against foreigners, are trumpeted in headlines around the globe. The end result is a leveling off of international student enrollment in the U.S. According to the annual survey by the Institute for International Education, the U.S. is still the number one choice for foreign students. But countries like Canada, Australia, and New Zealand are gaining popularity.
We know that international students also have more choices than ever before about where to pursue higher education.
Despite the hefty price tag and other factors that make the U.S. less attractive, the draw for international students remains strong.
Being here opened the doors of the world to me.
The people I meet, the opportunities I get access to, I think the United States really gives you some of the best of that in the sense that it's not just American, it's also global.
Opportunity changes everything.
U.S. universities that depend on foreign student revenue hope that sense of opportunity endures. Bronwyn Benito, VOA News, Washington.
This news break from VOA Asia, former Nissan CEO Carlos Ghosn accused Japanese prosecutors of treating him, quote, brutally after his arrest in Japan. He also said officials with the government and the automaker colluded to force him out of his position. Visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. This is VOA Asia.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA called on Dr. Stephen Mall, a medical expert from the University of North Carolina, to help treat an astronaut aboard the International Space Station. The astronaut had developed a deep vein thrombosis, or blood clot, in his jugular vein. The biggest concern of this condition is that part of the clot could break off and travel to the lungs, where it could cause a pulmonary embolism. Since it wasn't possible to send Dr. Mall to the ISS to treat the person, he began his evaluation and treatment procedure from his office at UNC. Dr. Mall and NASA doctors decided the best way to treat their patient was with a regimen of blood-thinning drugs. While the supply of these drugs aboard the ISS was limited, it was enough to treat the astronaut until a supply ship delivered medications recommended by Dr. Mall that would successfully complete the treatment. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Now on VOA Asia, the 2020 Consumer Electronics Show, underway in Las Vegas, is offering more health-related wearable tech devices this year. The companies that make them are aiming to either improve one's health or prevent and predict problems before they occur. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has the details from Las Vegas.
Wearable devices no longer just count your steps. Companies have now developed wearables that can do much, much more. The maker of this headband says it helps improve sleep.
Basically, your brain emits brain waves all the time, and some of those waves are clinically proven to be linked to your sleep quality.
Ergotech's Grek Lelouch says the headband, along with a mobile app, train the brain to produce brain waves that help with sleep.
Here you have electrodes, and those are going to measure your brain activity.
A user would wear the headband and play this game for 20 minutes to try and kill the jellyfish. When the headband senses sleep-producing brain waves, the game provides positive feedback with points, and the jellyfish disappear. Lulu says a user will start getting better sleep after 15 sessions. This $500 device will be available in the United States in June. This smartwatch called TimeC monitors the user's environment, such as temperature, humidity, sun exposure, noise, and pollution. The smartwatch app then offers personalized beauty creams based on the environment. Even babies get a wearable device. This is the Lumi by Pampers. It sticks to a baby's diaper with Velcro.
This wearable is tracking baby's sleep 24/7, as well as diapering. High motion is awake, low motion is asleep.
The sensor can detect the strip on the diaper as it changes color when a diaper is wet. Lumi's Mandy Treby says the sensor monitors a baby's routine. The device connects to an app or this camera and sends data to the cloud, so parents and caregivers can get real-time information about the baby.
Another segment of the population that can benefit from wearables is the elderly. For those who are worried about the health of aging parents, there's a wearable that can help predict potential health problems.
It can track all of the gestures of the dominant arm. It knows when they're lifting a fork to the mouth or a chopstick to the mouth. It knows when they're drinking, when they're brushing teeth, when they're brushing hair, and it knows where they are in the home.
CarePredict founder Satish Mova says with machine learning and artificial intelligence, this wearable device learns its users' unique gestures and behaviors in 2 weeks.
Anytime there's a decline or a deviation in these activities and behaviors, it usually precedes a health issue. So, for example, somebody going into depression will stop taking a bath. Will stop brushing their hair, will stay away from bright lights and sunlight, will stay in their own room, in their bedroom, darkened room.
When a behavior changes, the device will notify loved ones through a mobile app. Available in group homes since 2017, this $449 device is now available for individual home use. These are just a few of the many wearable devices that focus on health, featured at this year's Consumer Electronics Show. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Las Vegas.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
And you've been listening to VOA Asia. You can find us, well, just about everywhere online. We're on YouTube, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. Good luck avoiding us. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. We hope you will as well. And until then, be well.